go turn to Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to ask you to stand. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 through 24. I'm going to get right into it. We're not even going to do our affirmation today. But I do believe that God is going to bring a word that's going to release some of us from so much struggle internally. I was preparing this message, and it was so heavy on me that I had to go on Facebook Live. If you have not joined our Facebook group, Rohi Church, what's that group called, Ellie? Where's she at? What's it called? The Rohi Church Family Group, right. If you haven't joined that, go ahead and sign into your Facebook. You can do it now while you're sitting here in service so you don't forget. Sign into that group. It's a really great group. Miss Lori's doing a great job. She's posting such encouraging messages 3 or 4 times a day. We're getting some Facebook Live moments where God will speak and where one of our leaders should be soon starting to share words with you. But it's just a place for our family to connect outside of church on Sunday so that we don't feel like it's just my Sunday family, but it's my everyday family. Somebody say amen. All right, Luke 15, 17 through 24. Did you find it? If you didn't, don't worry about it. The words are going to appear on your screen. And I'm not even going to ask you to read it with me this morning. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to repeat after me and say the title of today's message. The title of today's message is Freedom of Forgiveness.
Freedom of forgiveness.
Okay, say it again. Say freedom of forgiveness. Now, check this out. Today, what I want to talk to you about is there is a freedom that comes when you experience the forgiveness of God. And I want to share with you that I believe that many believers have not experienced the fullness of that freedom just yet. Now, the series that we're in is called The Fullness of Forgiveness. And the reason we're doing this is because there are some things and some keys in our relationship with Jesus Christ that I believe Father God is trying to pour into us. Because I think the world has got us so confused about how much we really are forgiven that we keep beating ourselves up over stuff that God has already forgiven us for. So for some of you who were not here or you didn't hear the message, I encourage you to go back to the last 2 messages in this series on the fullness of forgiveness. Because what we've been talking about in week 1 is we talked about the fountain of forgiveness, which is the precious blood of Jesus Christ that came to redeem, which means to pay the price for our sins. And when he paid the price for our sins, remission of sin came, which means that our sins were sent away from us. They were put, somebody say hallelujah. That means that Jesus paid the price so that the price, the wages of sin is death. So when we sin, the Bible says we should experience death, which is a separation from God physically and spiritually. And then he sent his son Jesus to say, I'm going to pay that price for you so you don't have to pay the price of death. And what I'm going to do for you is not only am I going to pay the price for you, which means you ought to stop trying to pay the price for every time you mess up. Okay, y'all don't understand that. I'm going to get to that in a second. He says, I'm going to pay the price for you, and then I'm going to remove that sin far from you as far as the east is from the west. We discussed that there is a fountain of forgiveness because that means it's a constant flow. It don't just happen one time and it's over. No, okay, I'm getting so excited. All right. And then the second week, we talked about the foundation of forgiveness. And we said the foundation of forgiveness is the based in the word justification. And justification means a pronouncement of God, like a judge sending a pronouncement. And what God has pronounced is because of the price Jesus' blood has paid for you and I, he made a declaration of the word of his word that says that you are just as if you've never sinned before. He declares that not only have I wiped away your record of sin, but I'm making announcement that you are as one who has never sinned. Some of y'all don't know. Y'all haven't been in court. Y'all don't know stuff like this. But there's a thing when you get a record. You can get a record and you can be out free with a record. But the record is going to follow you even though you ain't in jail no more. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. God is saying, I know that you messed up, but Jesus' blood not only pays to let you out of jail, But his blood takes the record and erases everything that's on it so that your record has become what some call in the world expunged, which means it's completely as if you never did anything ever before. Now, I know some of y'all, that's astonishing, that's mind-boggling, because you're saying, I know I messed up. And when you say I messed up, God is like, what you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about because I don't remember it no more. And you're like, but God, I know you are capable of remembering. And he says, I'm absolutely capable, but I've chosen to forget it because it is absolutely gone. Don't. What are you talking to me about? And the problem is God's word says it, and it's supposed to settle it. But we keep arguing against his word. What are you talking about, Pastor? Let me tell you something. He says you're forgiven, and you keep reminding yourself, I'm so messed up. I'm so bad. And he's saying, what are you talking about? We struggle. What that tells me is we don't believe God at his word. If God's word was so powerful that when the world was void, when the world was nothing, he could speak a word. Come on, somebody. He could speak a word and cause this whole earth to come into motion. What makes you think he's not powerful enough to speak a word over the sin you've committed to say, that's enough, that's settled, and it's over? I don't know what you're talking about. Why is it easier for us to believe that God can speak a word to bring the world into motion than it is to believe that God can speak a word to truly forgive us of our sin? So today what I want to do is I want to talk to you about the freedom of forgiveness. I want to talk to you about how do you get free from the self-condemnation that you feel about yourself when you mess up. Y'all, I ain't got it. You know what? Ain't nobody got to say amen. It's going to be me and the exit screen talking. Because y'all ain't got to say, but I tell you what, if any of this hits you, I need somebody to shout an amen or a hallelujah or something. Because I found that I spend more time beating myself up for what I did wrong than I do walking in the freedom that I truly have from being forgiven what I've done wrong. I spend more time telling myself or fighting through negative feelings about, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that, what's wrong with you, than I actually do walking in the fact that God has wiped away all of that and I'm clean and I'm free. So today I'm going to bring a word that will hopefully help you to be completely free as you walk in forgiveness. All right, so the story is found in Luke chapter 15. And in Luke chapter 15, is a story. There are three parables and they relate to the same thing. They're the parable of lost things, as we call them. The first parable in Luke chapter 15 is a parable of a lost sheep. There were 100 sheep, but only 99 of them were in the pen, and the sheep herder went out and left the 99 to go find the one. Somebody say hallelujah. I love that passage because it's like, look, you done walked away from Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to leave. Everybody else come get you. Some of y'all, they call him the black sheep. He'll go get the black sheep and leave the white ones. Y'all missed that. Okay. Because some of us were black sheep in the family, and we thought the ones that were favored were the ones who were still in the pen. But God said, no, I care so much about the black sheep that I'm going after them to get them. The 99 are cool. Come on, I praise God. If you ever felt like the black sheep of the family, you ought to be glad he came and got you. Then the second parable is a parable about, oh, I got to hurry, about a woman with a lost coin. She had 10 coins and she had lost one. And she looked all over the house to find that one. And she diligently sought it till she found the one. Which is another parable about how much God will seek after you and come after you. But then we get into this story of the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. And I'm going to just go ahead and hit the story and read it at the same time and break it down at the same time. Now, this is a story that is much like our life and how we come back to our relationship with God. But one of the things that happens to us as a believer is we'll say, I know that God has forgiven me, but we face a huge problem of self-forgiveness. And you're going to see in this story where this guy struggled with self-forgiveness. This attitude is an attitude that we need to work on as believers, and I believe we need to get delivered from the fact that we don't forgive ourselves. Because if we can find deliverance from this struggle that we have to not forgive ourselves, then I believe we can truly find freedom in forgiveness and be who God has called us to be. Now, let me explain what the freedom from forgiveness is. It is when you can view yourself and truly accept yourself as a son or a daughter of God. That's when freedom from forgiveness is really happening. When you can truly view yourself and accept yourself as a son or daughter of God. It's not just accepting yourself philosophically and saying, you know, well, I just need to accept that this is just the way I am. Yeah, I know God has forgiven me, but this is just how I am. Or that what I have done, you know, I got to kind of shrug my shoulder and say, it's really too bad what I've done. I just got to live with this for the rest of my life. Sort of a grin and bear it, sort of an attitude when it comes to the stuff that I've done. That's not what we're really talking about. If I'm truly accepted as a son or daughter of God, I don't have any holes, I don't have any bars, I don't have any restraints on what God can do with my life right now. Some of us say, because I messed up so bad in school, I just can't ever do this for God. And God is like, you need to let that go because you're my son or you're my daughter. All right, here we go. Here's the story. Luke 15, verse 11. It says, then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them, somebody say the younger one. It's always the young ones that's not too bright. I'm the youngest in my family, so I can say that. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Give me what I deserve, Daddy. Because I'm done with you. I'm ready to bounce. I'm about to go live my life. How many of y'all have heard this or said this? I'm about to go live my life. I'm about to go do what I want to do. And the dad's probably like, no, son. You don't understand how hard it is out there. I don't care how hard it is. Look, how many of y'all have said or heard this? I don't care what mistakes you've made. I got to make my own ones. What a weird statement. Why would you make mistakes when somebody done already made them for you and you don't have to make them no more? But he says that. So the daddy says, you know what? As a good parent says, you won't go live like that? Go and do you, boo. So he divided up his livelihood, gave it to him. And the Bible says in verse 13, and not many days after. I love that. It ain't even been that long. He get his stuff. He's like, I'm out. The younger son gathers everything together, goes on a journey, and you know what he does? He says, I'm getting as far away from my daddy as possible. I ain't like his rules. I didn't like the way he ran the house. I ain't like what he was telling me to do. I ain't like that he was saying I needed to be home by 9 o'clock. I ain't like the fact he said I got to go to church. So guess what? Deuces, I'm taking my stuff, and I'm bouncing. And not only am I leaving, I'm getting as far away from you, daddy, as I possibly can. And the Bible says that when he left, the Bible says there, when he got there, he started wasting his stuff. The Bible says wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now, if you have a New King James Bible, the word prodigal has a little letter by it. And if you look up that little letter, the letter says wasteful. So it says there wasted his possessions with wasteful living. So when people talk about the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son is about one who was a wasteful son. He didn't use his resources effectively. He spent them up on things, you know, probably a few girls here and there buying drinks at the bar, making sure he had on Gucci. He wasted a lot. I ain't saying Gucci is wasteful. The word prodigal means wasted. It means this. It's the wasted opportunities. It's what was lost that might have been. How often do we say, well, I know God has forgiven me, but I've wasted so many years. I wasted so many opportunities. Wasted means it's irreparable. It's irrecoverable. It means I'm locked in a circumstance that I've caused, and so I can never be more than where I am. I'm always going to be less than what I really should have been. That's what it means. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You talk about, I've heard people say, I smoke so much dope that my mind has been so wasted that I can't remember things like I used to anymore. So I struggle to remember. So therefore my life will never be, come on somebody, what it should be because I wasted so much. There are people who will tell you that, you know what, I wasted so many years with that man or with that woman that now I will never able to be. I wasted my good skinny years on him. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, the years when I was cute and skinny, I wasted with that, you know what? And now that I'm older and not so skinny, when I really need, I'm ready and willing to find the right, now I'm just, I done wasted all the good years. It's almost as if to say, God, you can never really do for me what you said you can do for me and what you promised you can do with me because I have wasted and screwed up so bad. Wasted it. And I want to tell you that's not the truth. I don't care how much you've messed it up. Come on, somebody. I don't care how bad you did it. Some of y'all in school, we got the kids in here today. You feel like you messed up so bad in school, you can't recover ever again. You feel like I got so many F's, I'm so behind. I'm not even talking about this year. I'm talking about my whole life looking back that I don't think I can ever recover and become the kind of student that I think God wants me to be. Wasted. It's not true. Matter of fact, forgiveness puts you in a place where you were restored to your original state all over again. Wasted. When that begins to get a hold of you, when you begin to realize that you're really free from forgiveness, then you'll begin to experience and start living the way the son or daughter of God really should be, which is one who never wasted anything, but has a God who is able to restore everything back to you. This is why we struggle, because we look at what we've wasted, and so we don't think God is able because we say, I've messed it up. And we've got to stop saying that about ourselves, and we have to start saying, look, I am in a position to receive all that I was supposed to have because of who I am in Christ, not because of the years that I've wasted, not because of the stuff I let go, not because of the stuff I messed up. But because of who he is and who he says I am. He says I'm his daughter. He says I'm his son. And that settles it. So why do we struggle? Let's finish with the story. Verse 14 says this. But when the wasteful son, the prodigal, had spent it all. How many of y'all know you didn't have some moments when you spent it all? There arose a severe famine. So not only did he spend it all, but now the whole world around him is in famine. And he's like, I ain't got nothing, and ain't nobody around me got nothing. You ever been in that position? The folks you kept ain't have a pot to, you know, they ain't have nothing, and you ain't have nothing either. Okay? And he began to be in want. He began to get to a point and say, I want more than this out of my life. Come on, somebody. Praise God that you get to a point where you say, I want more than what it looked like right now. I can't have this. I can't be going through this for forever. So what he did was he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and they sent him to the fields. He thought, well, if I go over there and I go work for them, then I'll be all right. And they sent him to the fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach. He was eating the stuff with the pods that the swine ate. He would have been happy to say, give me what the pigs are eating, but they didn't even give him that. Something happens when you get to the point where you ain't got nothing, that you start realizing how idiotic life really is and how bad you've been. Verse 17, read this first part up to the comma with me, everybody. But when he came to himself, I love that line. In another version of the Bible, it says, when he came to his senses, when he said, this don't make no natural sense for me to be living like this, ain't got no, boing, 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 boing. You ever had them moments when you was doing your dirt, you was with who you were with, and you came to your senses? I can do bad all by myself, bro. You come to your senses and you like, you know what? I'm over here struggling. No, I ain't like my mama's rules, but at least my mama, I have food on the table and clothes on my back and a shelter over my head. I'm out here looking like a fool in a pig's pen. Ain't got nothing to eat. The pigs are eating better than me. I'm sloppy. I'm nasty. This ain't work. You ever come to your senses? Look, come on. I hope the kids can come to of their senses in school. You ever come to your senses and say, this is just dumb that I'm failing PE? All I gotta do is put the uniform on and show up. I ain't even gotta kick the ball. I just gotta stand on the field with the right clothes and I'll get a C. You ever come to your senses? Come on, somebody. When you was a kid in school and you look back and you said, if I'd have just turned the homework in, I'd have passed. I mean, there are moments when you just got to come to your senses and be like, duh, what was I thinking? Come on, praise God for the moments when you come to your senses. He came to his senses and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I'm over here hungry? My daddy's servants eat better than I'm eating right now. So he says this. He said, look, I got it now. I'm tripping over here in this pig pen. He said, I'm going to get up out of here and I'm going to go back to my father. And I'm going to tell my father, Father, look here. Now, watch what he says. I've sinned against heaven. I love that. He recognized, and David says it's true, whenever we sin, our first, the sin is against God. David said, against you and you only have I sinned. He said, look, the fact that I was wasteful, the fact that I bounced, the fact that I ran and I did my own thing, I'm going to tell you, I sinned against heaven. But not only did I sin against you, God, he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Some of us need to realize that some of the actions that we've created, watch this, they've hurt people. Don't you think his daddy was hurt that he took everything and left? But he said, I got to come back and I got to apologize for how I hurt you. I got to come back and I got to apologize. He came to his senses, but when he came to his senses, the first thing on his mind was repentance. Look, God, I'm sorry. And I got to say to my father, I'm sorry, I've messed this up. I've messed this up, and it's my own fault that I've messed it. Some of us, we don't even want to say it's my own fault. I'm like this. Can you just? It's my own fault. It's my own fault that I ain't got nothing right now because I was being real dumb back then. It's my own fault I got this F. Come on, kids, stop blaming the teacher. She don't like me. I say this so many times. They have way too many students to be thinking about how much they like you. If you have 150 kids, do you really got time to be like, let me make life just miserable for one? Do you know how much work it's going to take me to make my life miserable for just you? Ain't nobody got time for that. You know, come to your senses and realize, wait a second, I ain't did the work. I haven't paid attention. I haven't done what they were asking me to do. I've been watching too much TV, been playing too much Fortnite. Watching too much YouTube. They watch more YouTube than TV now. One of the babies said, yep. Come on, come to your senses. Some of us, we need to come to our senses and our finances. Look, God, it ain't that you didn't give me enough because I keep asking you for more. The problem is, the Bible says there's much food in the fallow ground of the poor. What that means is you can do a whole lot with what God has given you. The problem is we ain't budgeted and worked what God has given us. We too bit. No, I don't want to hear this. We need to come to our senses and say, God, I'm broke, not because you haven't given me enough, but because I spend money like crazy. We need to come to our senses with our dating. Why ain't I never going to get the right person? Maybe because your people picker is off. I need to come to my senses. I keep picking the wrong kind of bro. Keep picking the wrong kind of sister. If all your baby mamas are crazy, the problem ain't with them. Come to your senses. And thank God for the Holy Spirit that'll come to your senses. He'll be like, it's you. You know what, God? Forgive me. It's me. It's just me. I was wrong. We need to come back. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Now I got to make this fast. And then he goes on, and I'm going to try to get this really quick. He says, and I, check this out, verse 19, and I am no longer worthy to be called son. He says, look, I've messed up so bad. I'm not worthy to be called your son. And then he comes up with a plan. He says, look, you don't got to call me son no more. Just make me like one of your hired servants. What he's saying is because I have sinned against God, because I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against myself, I've lost my potential, and I've lost what could have been. So therefore, I'm not good for anything else. But if you could possibly just make me like a hired servant, I could at least get a job and at least be able to take care of myself. Look at the revelation. The revelation is, I messed up. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just give me a job as a hired servant so I can get out of this slot. Important revelation, right? Now I want you to watch this. So what happens next is he decides, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go, and he rehearses his speech. His speech is this: I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your servant. Make me a hired servant. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your hired. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. All the way home, he's like, because I got to get this speech right. Because if I don't get this speech right, I might not get my, living the way I want to live. So he's like, I sinned against God. I sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be a servant. Make me a hired servant. No longer worthy to be your son. Make me a hired servant. Just going back and forth. Can you imagine him just walking, just in pig slop, just dirty, nasty, just saying, I got to get the words right. And then he shows up, and when he shows up, look at the father. The father sees him far off, and he arises, and he, as he came to his father, and when he was still a great ways off, his father saw him, muddy, rags, in these pigsty clothes, talking to himself, looking like he crazy, because he's saying, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you, I'm no longer worthy to become, call your son, and I make me a hired servant. And he runs up to him, and he falls on him, and he kisses him, and all of these are signs of restoration. All of these are signs of acceptance. All of these are signs that I love you just the way you are. Now, how do you respond when you are coming filthy and muddy? You know you've messed up. He wraps his arms around you. You're standing there like, I don't know what to do with this. But you got this speech you've rehearsed in your head. And you're saying, because you can't get the word. You didn't expect him to respond that way. Come on. Some of you don't expect Father God to respond to you that way when you come back to him messed up, tore up. He's standing there with arms open wide like, I'm just so glad you're here. Wrapping his loving arms around you, hugging you and saying, I don't really care about all of that. That's the reason why I don't care how long you've been gone from this church. If I see you and you come back, I'm standing like this. Come on, baby, give me a hug. You know why? Because God stood that way for me. I got to finish. I need some help. Give me one of the kids who don't mind me touching them. Not touching them, but Josh, you know what I'm saying. Josh, just come here. Gooby, come up here. By the way, happy birthday, Gooby. Today's his birthday. I want you to catch something in the scriptures. The son is standing there. The son is standing there all covered in mud, and the daddy's got his arms around him. And he's standing there, I gotta get this speech out. And he's standing there. Look, he don't even know what to do. He don't know what to do. I love you so much. And he starts off, and I want you to imagine him starting off by saying, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. Now, I want you to read the scripture. And I'm no longer, verse 21, worthy to be called your son. Look at verse 22. But the Father. So I want to stop right here because this is my whole point of this whole message. He's rehearsing the speech. So, Goob, I'm going to put in between verse 21 and 22 something that you may call heresy, but I'm going to put the words in between verse 21 and 22. And I'm going to show you what means. I want you, verse 21, I want you to read verse 21. Ready? Go.
And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called.
What was the rest of the speech? Make me like one of your hired servants. In this verse, he never gets the rest of the story out. He says, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father jumps in like this, just stop talking. But the father stops. As soon as he said, I'm no longer worthy to become your son, he stopped him. He says, stop. And watch what the father says. He says, check this out. We'll go to the next verse. But the father stops and says, bring me the best robe. Bring me the best. You know what the best robe meant? It's the first robe. It's the robe of authority. Bring me the robe of authority and put it on him. Bring me the ring, which is the signet that says he's still a part of my family. And he still has authority to sign on my behalf. Put sandals on his feet. Ain't none of his servants got no sandals. Put sandals on his feet and bring me the fat calf and kill it. But wait a second. I still have the rest of my speech. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to call your son. What? Don't say, make me one of your hired servants, because if I am truly restored as your child, I will never go back to that servanthood. Why? Because my position is not based upon the wastefulness of my life. It's not based upon how bad I messed up. It's based upon the fact that the Father loved me, wrapped his loving arms around me, and said, you ain't gotta say nothing else. You are my son. You are worthy. You got everything available to you. Look, you have not lost your position. You have not lost your authority because you were wasteful. It's still yours because you belong to me. God put his hand over their mouth. The father almost put his hand over his mouth and said, don't say nothing else. Don't even speak those words. I want to tell you that Father God is trying to interrupt you from saying you're not worthy anymore. You're my child, and I got you. I got you. You don't like this? Ephesians 2, and I'm closing here. I promise, because I'm so late. Ephesians 2 says this. It is the story of the prodigal son, and it is shared in the life of every believer. And you, he made alive, who were dead in his trespasses. The Bible says in Luke 15 that the father saying, my son was dead and is alive again. You were made alive. You were once dead. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The prodigal son was disobedient. Verse 3, among whom all we once conducted ourselves in lust of our flesh. Come on, don't act like you ain't did that. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But you can see God putting a stamp and a hand over your mouth. Look at verse 4, but God... Somebody say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Y'all not hearing this. Come on, keep going. He, even when we were dead, even when we messed up, made us alive together with Christ and says, stop acting like I have not done anything. Stop acting like, don't even say, make me a hired servant. You are my child. And he raised us up together. Come on, somebody. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you wasted. You're still mine. Stop beating yourself up for what you messed up. God is so much bigger than your mess up. Verse 8 in that passage. For it is by grace you've been saved through yourself, not because of anything you can do. That's why the Bible says, therefore, when you come in Christ, you become a new creation. The old things have passed away. The new. Stop beating yourself up. Come on, stand to your feet. I got to get you out of here. What do I want you to get from this? When you really understand you're forgiven, you realize it don't matter what I wasted, I still got a robe. I'm still royalty. Still got a ring. I still have shoes on my feet. What does that mean? I still am a son or a daughter of Almighty God. And everything that I thought I lost, God says, you never lost anything with me. You didn't lose no years. Do you know that the Bible says that God is the kind of God who can change times and seasons? Where it's supposed to take you 20 years to get something, God could speed it up in 2 seconds. It don't matter. I got to close. I got so much. This was so good for me. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. there's freedom. Sons and daughters don't get hired as a slave. That's why Jesus said, I no longer call you a slave. I call you my friend. Because slaves don't know what's going on with their master, but I'm telling you what's happening. God does not call us to be kept people in his house. He says, you are a free son and daughter of mine. Here's what I want you to do. Ask yourself this question. Where have I been beating myself up over wasted living? And when you discover that, I want you to just lift your hands. Just lift your hands all over the room. I'm going to pray for you. Father, for those of us with lifted hands, we discover that we've wasted some stuff and we've messed it up. And God, we have been beating ourselves up over the stuff that we thought we lost. But I thank you, God, that we haven't lost anything because we're your son and we're your daughters. I want you to say this after me. Say, Father, I have sinned against you and I've sinned against others. I don't feel like I'm worthy to be called your son or daughter. But I declare, because of your word, because of the blood of Jesus, that all the things that I've ever wasted mean nothing to you. Because I am your daughter, because I am your son, I have full rights, full privileges, and everything that I thought was lost, God, I gain back in you. I praise you, God, that there is no wasteful years of my life. Oh, thank you. I hear that Joel chapter 2 passages that said that when the canker and the locust worm came, that God came back and he restored the years that they took. I speak a restoration of years over you for all the stuff and all the time that you wasted. Not somebody else took from you, but the time you wasted. And I declare a release over you. Hey, if you're here today and you've never given your heart or your life to Jesus Christ, or if you feel like you need more prayer, our prayer team's going to be coming up. Come on up, prayer team. They'll be here to pray for you. But I want to bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. I declare that you didn't waste those years, that God is clearing and covering them. Yes, sweetie.
At my house, we have little cards, and one of them says, I am Jesus's friend, and one of the sentences in there says, a master doesn't confide with his slaves.
Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we are your friends, that we're not slaves within him, but that you care about us. We have rightful sonship and daughtership in you. Look, this is a picture, boldness to come up and speak because of who I am. This baby knows she got a relationship with me where she can come up, but she knows she has a relationship with God, and she can come up and be free to be who she is. I release that over you today in Jesus' name. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be?
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.